Start this one. But it's those guys who like Paul Scott, who's never done anything like it, that Paul just gives a message. Especially, now, he doesn't know our life.
Yeah.
It's not like he's always in contact with us, but man, he just hammered away at our family this week. I mean, just... And how does that happen? Because God knows what we need here. And you know, and if a lot of people could see that. A lot of people, they're not here. The pews are pretty empty today. But because they can't see that. They don't understand that God is spending time here. He wants to do something in families and in lives. And like I was just saying a few minutes ago, it's not the norm anymore. People just don't want it anymore. It's not something they desire to have in their heart and their mind. And it's funny, what I'm going to preach on, a couple of the past, we were staying over there talking Friday night. You started talking about Jeremiah 6, that uncircumcised ear. And that's where I'm going to start off, Jeremiah 6. And I'm not coming at it the way everybody would think I am. But the Lord gave me something, and I'm going to preach it. And he'll run away with it, not me. Supposed to take care of that stuff before you get in here, boss. But I'm just saying, you know, when God gives me something, I'm going to be obedient. My prayer this morning was, I told pastors, you know, he's got me out here doing this stuff. I never dreamed a million years that God would ever do what he's doing in my life. And you need to understand that I stand before you unperfect, but I'm saved by a perfect God.
Amen.
Okay? It's never me, and I never want to be. Matter of fact, I told God, if it is me, please destroy everything that's going on in my ministry and let it be done, because I don't want to be in the way. Take away my youth, take away my 1 o'clock, take away Wellsprings, and please just let it all collapse and let me sit in that pew and just be a prayer warrior. If I get in the way, just move me. I don't need to be there. You know why? Because I'm going to fail every one of you guys. It's not me. It's what the Lord has done in my heart. This is who I've become. Paul says, by the grace of God, I am who I am. And that's how I stand before you today. By the grace of God. And you know what? I'm not invincible to anything. That serpent bites on me. It's been biting on me all week.
Yeah.
But me and my wife have learned. Here's the secret. When that serpent gets on your hand, he's biting and shaking. I mean, just coming at you all sides. Think about how well you run your house. Think about the decisions you make. Think about everything that goes on when things are going well. Now do that when that serpent's hanging.
Yeah.
Do that when that serpent's hanging. You want to learn some victory in your life? Do that. You got to, as a man, pastor would understand this, other men who have a household. We get bit by the serpents quite a bit. And guess what? We still have a household to run. We still have jobs to do. God still wants us to get in the Bible. God still wants us to pray to him. He still wants us to go out there and visit people. And we have that serpent still on our hands. How must we get through that training? God trains us, man. I thank God we have a preacher that comes out here and he teaches us how to get in the Word of God and how to study it. You know, God shows us things. We are wild again today. You know, God showed us something. He shared it with us. That was a beautiful thing. I love seeing that kind of stuff. But you know what? My wife can attest to this. Pastor can and whatever. Miss Ruth Ann could. Preaching comes at a price. When you're going to go out there and take the Word of God and get up and stand before somebody and preach His Word, you're going to pay a price for that. There's a price for me going out and coming up here and giving you guys this. There's prices to pay. There's things that me and my wife have to sacrifice that maybe some other person wouldn't have to. They don't understand it, but that's okay. God does and I do. There's certain things that we can't do any longer that others could. There's certain places and situations that this are not allowed in our lives anymore because God wants that removed out of our life for us to be able to do. I have to be able to hear what God's saying. If I've got things in the way that's blocking me from hearing him, he's not wanting me. My daughter needs to listen to what I'm... Autumn, you need to do this, you need to do that. But she's got her ears plugged, she can't hear me. So God has to unplug those ears and then he can remove them.
That's right.
Jeremiah 6. I'm getting used to glasses. I got to have them for reading. My eyes are going. I'm just getting used to them. So 10 and 11. To whom shall I speak and give warning? That they may hear. Behold, their ears uncircumcised. They cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. Therefore, I am full of the fury of the Lord. I am weary with holding in. I will pour out upon the children abroad and the assembly of the young men together. For even the husband with the wife shall be taken, and the aged with him that is full of days. The Lord says here, to whom should I speak? Who should I give warning that they may hear? I can look around in the pews today. I can look around in the churches today that are empty. Who are we to speak to? How can we give the warning? Where are they? They're not here for us to do it. Why? He gives us the answer right here. Behold, their ears uncircumcised. It's covered with skin. They can't hear. They don't understand it. There's something. They can hear the word. You guys can listen. Each one every morning, unless you have hearing problems, you can hear the words coming out of my mouth, but you're not hearing. They're not going where they need to go. You hear words coming out of my mouth and other pastors and preachers' mouth, and guess what? You walk out that door and you forget every one of them because you didn't hear them. Your ear hasn't been circumcised. And here's what's going on. These preachers, we got some lost people in here. They come up here, they're preaching to people, they're pounding them out, getting them underneath, trying to get them underneath conviction of sin and this and that. Get them up here to lead them a prayer. That person never heard a word. And then you're going to tell them that they're saved. They're going to walk out of here, they didn't hear a word because their ears were not uncircumcised.
Right.
There was no time for God to get in there and teach them, to get in there and open their ears. If I sat here long enough, I could come up here and I could just pick on one person, start preaching against a bunch of stuff in your life. It's going to make you cry, make you feel sorry for what you did, but is it really? Did it really get to you? Did it really get into your heart? Did it really get into your uncircumcised ears where God said it's time to repent and change your life? You haven't heard that enough. And so the preachers today, you know what they're doing? They're not letting people get uncircumcised. They're not letting the word get in there. They're not teaching them the way Paul says that the law is our schoolmaster. I'm not saying you have to go, but listen, you have to let the Spirit of God move freely in their life to be able to uncircumcise their ears. Pastor knows, I sat in here for 4.5 years, plus I listened to old-time Baptists preach to me. Now these are, I'm talking about God-fearing people. They may not be perfect, but our pastor knows the Bible. Our old-time Baptist preaches that Bible, and you know what? I had uncircumcised ear until God says, now it's finally time to uncircumcise them. Wham! He got those suckers wide open. I heard it for the first time in my life. I heard it. People aren't allowed to do that anymore these days. You're not allowed to sit here. That song that said, patiently, he's waiting for you. Everybody wants to put a notch on their belt. And so they're uncircumcised here. Oh yeah, I came. Oh sure, I sat in church on Sunday. It was Easter. I went with my family and heard nothing. Nothing. They walked out with their ears the same way as they walked in here. Who do we give warning? They have uncircumcised ears. Let's go out a little bit more. He says, behold, the word of the Lord is a reproach unto them. They have no delight in it. That's not obvious to a person. Listen, you can just look at a person's life. They'll call themselves a Christian, but yet they have no delight in the word of the Lord. Why? Because nothing's going on in their life. Nothing is changing. Nothing, not inside or outside. Nothing's going on. I know people who will stand here and say they're a Christian, but yet you go in there and try to teach them something out of the word of God and they want to hear nothing about it. It's a reproach to them. It makes them mean and nasty. I want to hear that. That ain't the truth. You don't have the only Bible that's right. You see? It's a reproach unto them. I mean, I remember when Pastor started preaching, the Lord started convicting me and showing me what I really was. I mean, just the things that ate me up in my heart. That hurt me. It was a reproach to me. I didn't know how to handle that. But I'll tell you, I didn't leave the house of God. I kept coming back and coming back because there was something there that was going to break that reproach. You see, people can't get there anymore. And then after people leave people from Jesus Christ, what do? They leave them. They do nothing with them anymore. No phone calls, no visitations. I'm not even going to get into that stuff. I'm just... When somebody gets saved, something needs to happen for them. You can't just leave them. They need to be... So for a little while, you need to be on them a little bit about coming to the house of God. You need to be friendly to them. I mean, we're starting to meet people on the streets from Wall Street, and they're remembering me, and I'm hiding, and how you doing, and I'm starting to, these people, the same ones I see in Wall Street, now I'm seeing them on the outside, and, that's going to be more and more and more. Am I going to chase them away? Am I going to try to pound them out? Oh, yeah, yeah. They're not going to listen to that stuff. It's going to be a reproach to them. Because that's what they've been taught. Let me finish this. Therefore, I am full of the fear of the Lord. I am weary of withholding in. I am weary with withholding. Listen, I can't keep my mouth closed. My mom knows I was just preaching in the car, wasn't I, Mom? I'm ready just to bust sometimes, man. And I just can't hold it in. I want to get out there. It's not for my glory, though. But I just want people to know, man, if you can only take a look inside my heart and my life to what it used to really, really, truly be, you hear the words coming out of my mouth. And then to see what Jesus has done to my heart and done to my life, that's what I want you to have. And I want people to know that you can have that. That's a reality. I'm not living a fable. I'm not standing up here telling you something that's doing me any good. I walk out of here with no money in my pocket. Guess what? I'm leaving with no money in my pocket. Because I'm just trying to share with you what Jesus Christ has done for me. And I want you to have that. I want every person in this room, you may have your desires all messed up because you don't know what it is, but I'm just telling you now, Jesus has a bigger desire for you. He has a bigger desire for your life, and I'm just telling you, he wants to do for you what he could do for me or anybody else. When all else fails, and it gets hard, man, me and my wife have peace, prayer, the Bible, the house of God. This is what our life is now. This is who we have become. We have allowed our ears to be open to the Word of God. And God now can come in and he can change those things that we once thought were a reproach, that we once did not like, we wanted nothing to do with. I'm going to read what I wrote here. I have to put my glasses on. It says, these people that the Bible is talking about here are people who can hear, but not hear what the Word is really saying to them. They hear the preaching, but it means nothing to them. They have not allowed God to get in there and circumcise their hearing so that they can not only hear the Word of God, but finally, the first time, understand it. Understand what the law is, what it is meant for, what is being lost, knowing now that God is trying to work in their lives, but with uncircumcised ears, they cannot hear this. This is the place that pastors, preachers, evangelists, and teachers, Sunday school teachers, need to begin on dealing with people. Teaching them the Word of God and then allowing them to sit and allow God to circumcise their ears. This is a lost art, and I thank God for our pastor who teaches that you can sit here under the Word of God. And I'm not talking about playing games, coming here and play. I'm talking God knows those who are really seeking and those who are just playing games sitting on a pew. But for those of you who are sitting here and you're just hearing the Word of God and God is just now starting to circumcise your ears, you stay here and let him work with you. But for those who are faking and it means nothing to them, and you're just playing games week after week, God knows that. He can tell the difference. But I thank God that our pastor was patient. I thank God he didn't try to force that. Amy used to beg, just about beg pastors to tell them that she was saved. Thank God we had men of God that didn't come up and tell her she was saved. She may be in the flames of hell today. We're going to move on. So here we got the, we're talking about people who aren't hearing the Word of God. Uncircumcised people. And here's some fruits the Lord gave me in Proverbs 17. Let's go to Proverbs 17. Here's some fruits of people who have uncircumcised ears that the Lord just gave me some proofs of people who are not really hearing the Word of God, who their ears are closed to it. And he gave me a few. Now, the Bible's full of them, but I just thought Proverbs 17 was really, he really showed them. So I'm going to read what I wrote. If this does not take place, if they don't have the uncircumcision, in Proverbs 17, here are some of the fruit of uncircumcised ears. Proverbs 17, verse 4. Starting there. A wicked doer giveth heed to false lips, and a liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue. I'm going to read all, right through verse 6. A wicked doer giveth heed to false lips, and a liar ear to a naughty tongue. Whoso mocketh the poor reproach his maker, and he that is glad at calamity shall not be unpunished. Children's children are the crown of men, and the glory of children are of their fathers. Now I'm going to go and I'm going to read something that the Lord put on my heart. I can't remember everything all the time, so I like to just write it down. And my thoughts. This doesn't come from anybody else. Nobody gives me this. I don't go and find it forever. So I'm just going to read to you. If you see me reading, that's what I'm doing. People wonder why their kids are the way they are. Parents have uncircumcised ears. They don't want the Word. And if they hear it, they are not really hearing it. And if they were not raising their kids according to the Word, therefore the fruit of your children show what your dads are in your teaching and your living at your home. Let me back. I can't get used to these glasses. I'm just going to have to. I got to get something. I'm having a hard time with the glasses, man. A wicked doer giveth heed to false lips. Listen to me. People are constantly lying to each other. They're constantly trying to put the little white lies in there, just trying to just smooth out the truth a little bit. And the Bible calls, what's the Bible called? A wicked doer giveth heed. Listen, if you're out there doing wickedness, you're giving heed to that. You're listening to what's going on. And that's proof that you have uncircumcised ears because you're giving heed to that. You're okay with that. That kind of stuff doesn't bother you. It's called a wicked doer. I mean, you're somebody who's doing wickedly. And you're hearing that kind of stuff. And you can hear that. You understand that. That's something you understand. But when somebody comes up and tries to preach to you or give you the word of God, you can't hear that. You block that out. I don't want to hear that. Because your heart is set in the wrong place. A liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue. A liar, let me read that again. Am I reading that? Yeah, a liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue. Do you realize it'd be easy for somebody to say, listen, if we all get caught up in telling a lie, little white lies, what's wrong, you got to confess that and get out. But do you know a constant liar will sit there and listen to a dirty mouth and it won't bother them?
That's right.
The Bible just said it. If you're out there listening to dirty jokes and all that kind, you're a liar. The Bible just called you a straight, you have uncircumcised ears, because you'll sit there and listen to that. There's been quite a few times since I got saved that I've really had to tell people, don't be swearing around my wife and my kids. I don't allow that. You can swear around me, it doesn't bother me. I've heard a lot, listen, you can't say nothing to me, I ever heard. But when my wife and kids are, even if my mother was there, I'm not allowing that. But I'm just saying, the Bible calls you a liar. Number five, whoso mocketh the poor reproacheth his maker. Come with me to Wellsprings. Come see the people I deal with. Come see the ones that everybody in this room has laughed at, the poor.
Come on. Yeah.
We know it. You know that the Bible just said we reproach our maker by doing that. Mm-hmm. He made those people. He knows what they are.
That's right.
You know what Jesus said? Go out there and get those people.
Yeah.
Those are the ones we're supposed to put up. I'll never leave my heart hearing about the story of Pastor Randall putting his arm around a smelly, stinky person. That's always hit my heart, hasn't it? I want to be that. I want to put my friends around some stinky, smelly
there
people.
There.
That's right, there is. And you know what? And I want to love them. I ask the Lord Jesus, please, help me to love them like you love them. Help me to see them the way you do. You know why? I never see myself as anything, and I don't think I am anything, only by the grace of God. But Jesus already saw what I was going to be. Those smelly, poor people who don't think they have any hope, guess what Jesus sees? He sees what I don't. Why would I reproach my maker and pick on them? Yeah. That's reproachable. Why? Because they're his people. He died for them. I just, the other day, I mean, just read, this 16-year-old baby just got killed. I'm not sure if the boyfriend or the mother did it, but you know what? If the boyfriend did do it and beat that baby to death, Jesus Christ died for that boyfriend.
16 months.
I'm not saying he's right. God forbid. I'd like to do to him that he did that 16-month-old baby, but I'm just telling you this. We can't get into our head that the poor people, the smelly people, the rich people, the blasphemous people, the atheist people, Jesus died for every single one of them. Every one, whether we like it or not. But we can't hear. And he that is glad at calamities shall not be unpunished. There's people out there who thrive on other people's misery. They love seeing people fail. There's Christians in this very church. That when people are having a hard time, they think the hard time, they'll make fun of them. Glad that happened to you, not me. Oh, look at they're going through. Oh, yeah, look at this, look at that. And they'll sit there and just keep making fun of each other. God said that's not going to go unpunished. You know, I think that's one of the things about America today, you know, even here in Black Creek, is we walk around here like God's not going to help make us answer for what we do. Lost or unlost, you're going to answer for what you do.
Right.
Everything you do today, tomorrow, you're going to answer for that.
Right.
People have no fear of that anymore, Pastor. Not a fear in the world. They have no fear of standing before a holy God, and you're going to have to stand there in judgment. Now, I'm not a little wimp. I'm not a little girly dude and all that kind of stuff. But I tell you this. God forbid if I were to ever had to stand in front of a holy God without the blood of Jesus Christ on me.
Oh, brother.
I feared no man ever. But I tell you why I fear God. I bow and I'll get right here. I don't care if there's a million people in here or if there's one, I'd get on my knees right here and bow my face humbly to him and wouldn't even have an issue with it. Try to get me to do that to you. I'm not doing it. Now before a holy God, it's not even an issue. And that's where a lot of people have lost it. They don't believe that they're going to stand before a holy God. They think they have everything okay. And that's the uncircumcised ears. They haven't heard it. It's not the norm anymore for anybody to be listening to the Bible and preaching the Bible. You know, everybody's so mad because they won't put the Bible in the state buildings and all that. You took it out of your own home, so don't complain about it being not in the building. You took it out of your own heart. You took it out of your own... It's our fault, people, that the Bible is where it is. Don't blame everything else. Oh, they won't let it in the state building. Then put it back in your house. Put it back in your own life. Put it back in your own heart. I was talking to Sunday school, you know. You know, you look how many people are afraid of what Jesus was doing, his healing and that. And you know why they're afraid? Because it's not the norm anymore. It's not the norm for people to get saved, and it's not the norm for them to carry around a Bible and to love people. Do you know that people think we're weird for helping people at wellsprings that stink and smell? They look at you like you're a weirdo. Because it's not the norm anymore, but it used to be the norm. Here's the norm now. They get saved, grab an NIV Bible, go to these so-called churches, put their hands in the air, go out there and live their life any way they want. That's the norm now. We are not considered not normal anymore.
Right.
One day, in the past, it was considered normal for saved people to walk around, have a changed life, have a changed family, preach the word of God. You know, the word was in schools, the word was in buildings, the words were in home, and that was all the norm. It's not the norm anymore, and they don't want the norm. Look at their doing. Abnormal. If any of you guys have seen the post that I put on Facebook, there was a rap artist who cut his private area off. He cut his private part off, Pastor, and jumped off a building. Guess who's out there buying their albums? The same people sitting in this room. You support that guy. You support it. He just went and did that. You know what? His album sales must have flew through the roof. And that's the norm.
Yeah.
That's the norm. It's okay to stick all these big things in your ears and your face and all this crazy stuff, but that's the norm now. It's okay for you to be half gay and half not gay and see this way and do that. And that's the norm. But when people have a normal life, a normal family, that is not the norm anymore. Having a normal life with a wife and kids and you're taking care of your family, working, coming to church, worshiping God and just having a good life is not the norm anymore. We're looked at as weirdos now. Crazy world. You mean to tell me you want my son and my daughter to listen to somebody who's going to do that to himself? And that's okay. You're right. That's cool. Over and over again, I keep telling you, listen, Hollywood and all that, they don't want anything for your kids but their money. They want you to worship them in Hollywood. They want you to have fun with them. And then guess what? Hey, when you're in the down and outs, they're not going to be there for you. Not going to be there for you. Church, preaching, and the Bibles must go home and be put in home. They say the proof is in the pudding. Well, the proof is in your home. The proof is in your home. What's going on in your homes? What's going on?
Well,
are you taking this Bible home? Are you taking what you're hearing home? I mean, I'm not perfect. That I just told you, I stand up here as an unperfect man saved by a perfect God, and I walk with him every day. Otherwise, I'd fall on my face regardless. My wife and kids are sitting right there. You ask them how my life is. But I tell you what, I bring this Bible home with me. I stand on this word. I raise my family on the word of God. I love my wife on the word of God. This goes home with us. My mom doesn't always agree with everything, but you know what she sees by telling me? Don't you see me go home with that Bible and live that Bible? Come to my house anytime you want. Surprise me. Go ahead. I live what's in this word. Not perfect, not perfect. But I live what's here. And that's the lost art today. It doesn't happen anymore. So you take a saved family, supposedly, and they go home. Yeah, they look good going to church and everything. You go home to their house, there's cars parked all over, people drinking beer, smoking, and everything else, and they're the Christians today. That is the norm for a Christian. I'll tell you now, here's the norm for a Christian. Go home, have fun with your family. You don't have to have all the garbage in your family. Go home, we have fun, don't we have fun? Don't we go out and do things and have fun, fishing and all that stuff? But you know what? We don't have all the other baloney in our lives. And you know what? When we go out, we don't go out there and represent the world. I go out there and represent Jesus Christ. You know why? He's just looking for some people to put his name on. He's looking for some families to put his name on. But what a disgrace it is. Could you imagine being God looking out from heaven and saying, I got to call that my family? I got to call him my son? Come on, for those of us who have kids, how disappointing is it when your kids just do something you can't believe? Imagine what God's looking down on us like. Especially those that are calling themselves Christians. And he's looking down going, really? This all stems from uncircumcised ears. You're not getting my point. You're not hearing. You're still sitting here not hearing. 17:12. Proverbs 17:12. Let a bear rather her whelps meet a man rather than a fool in his folly. You're better off running into a bear who has found out that you took her cubs rather than to be a friend to someone who lives a foolish life. With uncircumcised ears to the word. We make friends of those who want nothing to do with word. With the word. You know what God says? You're better off than running to a bear who doesn't have her. You're better off being friends with a bear who got her cubs stolen. You're better off running into her than being a friend to that person. I'm going to finish what I wrote here. You're better off running into a bear who has found out you took her cubs rather than be a friend with someone who lives a foolish life with uncircumcised ear to the word. If you know anything about bears, you know they have you have no chance to survive her wrath when she gets a hold of you. And that's the warning God gives us about hanging around with fools. Go ahead and steal some bears so her cubs stand in front of her. Let's see how long you last. That's the warning God's giving you about hanging out with people who are fools. That's a pretty serious warning. That's a pretty serious warning when God tells you, listen, you're better off going to a den of bears than to go hang out with somebody like that. You all know what I'm talking about. We don't have to give examples and all that. You know what I'm talking about. Go ahead. Amy, we're going to go ahead. God says go out there and love the world, but be separate. We got to be separate. But let's just go out there and live full pledge for the world and see what happens to me and you. Let's just do that. God says you're better off than running to that bear. You have a better chance of surviving running into that bear than you do going ahead and living a foolish life like that. That's something. You know why? Because he knows that this world is going to maul you. Listen to me. It's going to maul you and tear you up worse than any bear ever could. I gave you guys a little sneak peek at my testimony about what the world did to me. And I'm just telling you now it's going to do it to you. Don't think it can't happen. Don't think it can't happen. I went pretty deep in my testimony this morning. I'll tell you, my wife just found out about something that I shared with her. And I'm just telling you right now, this world will maul you.
That's right.
Maul you. I tell the kids all the time downstairs, man, I don't pick on you. I thank God you were raised in the country. There's still dirt here and all that, so I understand all that. But thank God you're here. You don't know. Pastor, I said, right now, and my mom knows I have hookups. Amy knows I have hookups. I could bring any one of you right now, tonight. You guys heard this. I could bring you to Buffalo. Bring you to the street corners. Where these guys and these little girls here would be pimped out right now, tonight. I guarantee it. I'll bring you to them. I'll bring you to them. I'll bring you to the houses of them. I'll bring you to the houses of the pimps. I know where they're at. I know where they are. I know who they are. I told the boys this morning, I said, they'll try you out too before they send you on the street corner. And that's what they do. That pimp will try you out before he puts you on the corner. Boy, girl, doesn't matter. Why do you think God's trying to warn you of that? Because that's going to be something easy for you to take. Are you man enough to take it? I wasn't. I wasn't man enough to take it. It mauled me. It just tore me up. It tore my whole life apart. It drove everything about me. God says you're better off to run into a bear than run into this foolishness of this world, because it will tear you up and leave you for dead. Just leave you for dead. Proverbs 17:13, whoso rewardeth evil for good, evil shall not depart from his house. When someone is doing well and you reward them with evil, talking behind their backs, fighting with them, making fun of them, you get the point. Look at what's going on in your life and in your house. Evil will be there, and it's because you're fighting that which is good. So many people are out doing this. You see, things are going good in the Montgomery's life, Debbie's life, you know, so a few other people's lives, and you want to reward that for evil. You want to treat them like garbage. You want to laugh at them, make fun of them, and this and that, pick on them, and I wouldn't help you. I mean, man, and that's what you want to do. You want to reward that evil for good. You know what God said? He's going to take care of that. He's going to make sure he has the last say in that. You want to know what? You having a lot of troubles in your house? Stop rewarding so much evil for good. Let me tell you what it says. Whoso rewardeth evil for good, evil shall not depart from his house. There's evil in your house because there's something you're doing wrong. You're just not getting a hold of it. You're not hearing what's going on. Your ears have been circumcised. You're not getting it, man. It's not sinking in. He said that reward's not going to leave you when you continually do that. You got to open your ears to it, man. You got to open your ears to what's going on. You got to hear it. Let me go ahead and continue on. Look what's going on in your life, in your house. Evil will be there. It's because you're fighting that which is good. We have to be on our guard without houses. That's where the devil attacks, in our houses. If he can weaken a family, he wins the battle. Let's pray for one another. Let's stop this cycle that has been destroying families and lives for way too long. Let's defeat the devil and not allow him to have victory in our lives or our families any longer. Joshua 24:15 says, but for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Also, I'm going to read the rest of the verse. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether it be gods of your fathers that served, or whether it be on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Listen to me. There are, when the devil gets into a family, there's a lot of families who don't have moms and dad both living in the house. I was raised that way. And I'm just going to tell you this now. When the devil can weaken families, he's won the battle. Christians, I'll tell you now, when the devil gets into your family, when the devil gets into your life and you allow him to weaken your family, it's over with. You might as well just go ahead and give up the flag. That's what you want to do anyway. Why? Because you're not hearing what's going on. You're not taking heed to the warnings. You're not understanding. God's warning over and over and over. I mean, you can read this Bible, over and over. Pastor's been reading this Bible for 30 some odd years, and he's still seeing the warnings. He's still getting things that God is teaching him. Why? Because God's not done warning us about the things that happen. He didn't put an end to that yet. But you have uncircumcised ears. You don't want to hear the word. Be honest with me. You don't have to raise your hands, because most of you wouldn't anyway. You'd be lying. But you'd be honest with me right now anyway. How many of you really want that word? Really want what Jesus wants to give you? Really wants the salvation and a changed life that he really wants? Tell me, how many of you really want it?
Lord.
Too afraid. That's what it is. I said that to my Sunday school class this morning. You're afraid of the one next to you. You're afraid of your neighbor. You're afraid of what your boss might think. You're afraid of this. You're afraid of that. Just like they did when Jesus was healing everybody, they got afraid. They wanted him to depart. They didn't want it anymore. Man, don't be afraid. Be afraid of this world. Be afraid of what this world's going to do to you. Jesus doesn't want to do that to you. I want to get to this one point. And we're going to do this one. Proverbs 17, 19 and 20. There's so many more points. You go ahead and read Proverbs 17, and there's so many points in there where God is trying to say, by having uncircumcised ears, by not hearing his word, these are the actions. This is what's going to happen. This is what people are going to look like. You want to know if people are listening to the word of God or not? Read Proverbs 17, and then match that up to people, and you'll be able to tell if they're hearing. You can tell if they're hearing. Proverbs 15, I'm just going to read those. He that justifieth the wicked, and he that condemneth the just, even both of them are abomination to the Lord. Wherefore is the price in the hand of a fool to get wisdom, seeing he hath no heart to it. people who know people and they are friends with these people and know these people want nothing to do with God or church or the Bible, yet support them. You are justifying the wicked by allowing them to do so. You think that you're okay, and that's how you live your life. Do you know every day that you're okay and in agreement with the wicked that you're justifying what they do?
Come on.
That's what I say when you're buying country albums and rap albums and cigarettes and beer and all that kind of stuff. You're supporting the wicked. You're saying it's okay. Even if you do not support that. But yet you are friends and I know, it's okay. You'll get over it one day. You're supporting the wicked. You're saying it's okay. You have an okay lifestyle. And that is not okay. And it's not. You're supporting the wicked. Proverbs 17, 19 and 20. He that loveth transgression, that loveth strife. And he that exalteth his gate seeketh destruction. This is my favorite part. He that hath a froward heart findeth no good. And he that hath a perverse tongue falleth into mischief. Listen to your mouth and then look at your life. Listen to your mouth, dirty mouth. Filth coming out of it, piggish, nasty, disgusting stuff. And then look at your life. Let's just see what it says here. If you live a life full of transgressions, you love strife. And you know it's a fact. How do I know it's a fact? Because I used to. My life was full of transgressions and I love strife. I loved the conflict between me and people and cops and everything else. I loved it. That was a thrill to me to have that strife in my life at all times. I love the transgressions. If you live a life full of transgressions, you love strife. Because the ways of a sinner is hard. Then you want to expand on what you stand on. Living in transgression and strife. And God says that will lead to destruction. That was my life and how I lived. And it destroyed my life completely. If you have a froward heart, that means to be stubborn, contrary, disobedient, rebellious, uncooperative. You walk around thinking that there is not one bit of good anywhere. You even look at Christians and say, they won't make it. Bad things will happen to them. They are faking. Their family will fall apart. If this is my life, that's theirs will turn out this way. What I'm trying to make by that point is, there's people out there who come and sit in the house of God, and they see that God is making a family successful. And I'm not talking financially. But just see that he's making moves in their life and you know things are going well for them spiritually and that, and they'll hate that, they'll despise that. They make fun of that. They have a froward heart part to say, oh, you know what? This happened, so now that's going to happen in their life. Well, this happened in my life, so it's going to happen in their life. And they walk around just trying to pinpoint any little thing that might happen to that family.
Oh.
That person. That we have single moms in here that's making strides in life, who love the Lord Jesus Christ, who got saved, and there's very people picking on them for that. They sit in this church, Debbie. They sit in this church, Montgomery's. They sit in this church, Vannis. They sit here in this church and they look at you and go, they think their life's going to be okay. It's going to do this. And they make fun of the things that you're doing. They make fun of you. They think you're funny. They think there's something wrong with you. That's that froward heart. They're just so rebellious against anything that you might do. You know why? Because they don't think there's any good in this world. They don't see any good anywhere. They don't think that Jesus Christ can do that for them. Because they don't hear him. Jesus said he died once for all. 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 But they don't want to hear it. They have an uncircumcised heart. They just want to be so quick to judge other people and what's going on in their life. Instead of what's going on in their own life. Man, Lord hit me up on that the other day, didn't he? Something was going on. I finally had to back off and say, man, whoop. I went and prayed. I said, Lord, I'm sorry for overstepping them boundaries. I'm sorry for doing what I did. You know what I did, Pastor? I tried to be a God over my wife. I tried to tell her what she was doing wrong. Oh, didn't God hammer me on that? I said, Lord, I'll never do that. You deal with that. I can't do that. I'm no. Who am I to do that? No. I told Amy, I'm sorry, Amy. I said, I did not mean to cross that line. I'm sorry for trying to sit there and trying to tell you, oh, you do this wrong, you do that wrong, you don't do that. Who am I to do that? You know what he brought me to? Take the mole out of your own eye.
Uh-huh.
I said, you're right, Lord. And there's some things that me and my wife can point out to each other to help. But I'm just saying, I cannot go up there and judge my wife and think I'm holier than thou and thinking I'm some little God walking around the house while she's doing all the wrong, I'm doing all the right. That's where I crossed the boundary. That's where I made my mistake. He let me know that real quick. But I got that right quick, though, didn't I? Yeah, I don't play that game. I don't play that. I got two more things and I'm done. If this bad things are happening, look and listen to those who have a perverse mouth, dirty jokes, swearing, and other stuff, and you bet they are living a perverse life filled with pornography, swearing, and a dirty life. Why? Proverbs 23:7, for as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. Listen to me. I'm telling you right now, if you're looking at porn and swearing and drinking and all that stuff, that's what you really are. That's what's really in your heart. It's not the Word of God. You're not hearing anything that God is saying. You're not hearing the Bible. You're not hearing preachers. You're hearing what you are. What a man thinketh in his heart, he is. Now, let's just take a look back at ourselves and our families and see. What's coming out of our hearts? What's coming out? You know what? You'll be able to tell by the way your children are. You'll be able to tell by the way things go on between you and your wife. You'll be able to tell by the way things go on at work of what's coming out of your heart. Or what's really in your heart? What's really in your heart? Mark 7:20 says, and he said, that which cometh out of a man, that defileth man. What comes out of the mouth is how your life is lived. You know, it's not very hard to tell how people are living their life. Just go spend about 20 minutes with them. Yeah. You'll know their whole life, guaranteed. Just by the things they talk about, the stuff that comes out of their mouth and all that, that's what's really in their heart. And that's the life they really live. They may not come out and show it 100%, but you know what? They're evil. They're thinking that in their heart. They have that foul heart. They were being real rebellious.
Yeah.
I'm going to close with this. Proverbs 17:22. A merry heart doeth good like medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. A person who lives by this has a broken spirit, and a broken spirit leads to uncircumcised ears, which leads up to a dried up life and a dead bones with no life in them. But these people have become dead bones can have hope with uncircumcised ear. Read Ezekiel 37:1-10. It talks about the bones. When the man of God preached, the people's ears became circumcised to hear the word. The Spirit of God came upon them, and then there was hope. Until then, they have circumcised ears, and they will be as dead bones with no life. And they will have these fruits that I just showed you in Proverbs 17. If you want to have not, if you don't want to be considered to have dead man's bone and have no life in you, then let your ears be uncircumcised with the Word of God. Read Ezekiel 37:1-10. And I'm just telling you, read that, and you'll see what I'm talking about. You need to hear the Word of God. You need to let the Spirit of God move in your life so you can have them uncircumcised ears. I'm done.